You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast. We're looking ahead to the action at Market Raisin and Newbury on this edition. They're the two national hunt cards. We've also got action on the all-weather at Lingfield and at Newcastle as well. Plus, there's an Irish meeting at Fairy House. You can join Gordon Brown in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Rory Delaghi and Chris Pimlott for all of the day's action. On Wednesday, we'll be on air from around about midday. Sam Norris here, joined by Luke Elder, to preview two races on the card on Wednesday. How are you, Luke Elder?
Surviving. I'm better than I was. I've had a cough for most of the weekend.
A lot of people have.
Yeah. I mean, I always get sick for my birthday.
Okay.
And this year was no exception. It was tonsillitis a few years ago.
But right.
It's a time of year that I just dread because I know I'm going to get ill.
Nothing and if not it, consistent.
Exactly. I mean, consistency is key in this game, and that's yeah. what I aspire for. Whether it's consistently bad, some would argue.
Just consistent in all walks of life.
Well, you know, I hate to brag, but that's me.
I'll be catching up with Andrew Thornton a little bit later on in the podcast, discussing some of the rising stars of the weighing room in the National Hunt game. There are plenty of them to go at, so we'll be hearing Andrew's thoughts on that in just a few minutes' time. We're going to take a look ahead to a couple of races, though, on the cards on Wednesday, first of all, beginning at Market Raisin with the 1 o'clock, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Field of 12 taking their chance in this one, Luke. And a fair few of these actually bring a decent level of form into the race.
Yeah, it's a competitive little race over at Market Raisin. Obviously, as we're talking, that it hasn't been priced up yet, but I would imagine that one of us, the Nick Williams runner, would be towards the four of the market at the very least. Lizzie Kelly's on board taking a further £3 off, but it's a competitive race. The one that I sided with was one of us. So I was at Ascot last time out, and he looked a really nice horse in the parade ring beforehand. He's one that in time will make a nice chaser. He's not huge, but he's compact and pretty well put together. He got a brilliant ride from Lizzie Kelly last time at Ascot, made every single yard of the running. She filled him up at the right times. He jumped superbly out in front. If he adopts the same sort of tactics at Market Raisin tomorrow, then I would imagine he'd be fairly hard to catch on the front end. A few of the runners against him are coming off the back of little breaks. He's one that is at least race fit. The ground's going to be no real concern for one of us tomorrow. And the handicapper, I thought, could have been a lot harsher on him than he actually has been. He's only gone up £4 in the weights. This is probably a weaker contest as well than he actually won. So going from Ascot to Market Raisin, one of us was definitely one that I had on my tracker for next time out from that Ascot meeting. And I'd say I'd be disappointed if he wasn't at least in the three tomorrow, but I imagine he'd be a shorter price towards head of the market.
One of us then for Nick Williams and Lizzie Kelly gets the votes in that 1 o'clock at Market Raisin. On to Newbury for the 3 o'clock. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 7 furlongs for the Harwell Trophy. It's a class three event. Not a bad pot on offer as well. 10 runners lining up to take their chance in this. Who's your money with here, Luke?
Well, I thought I've gone for a potential favourite in the first selection. I thought I'd go for one at a bigger price in Horatio Hornblower, also for Nick Williams, actually. So it's a Nick Williams double. Sam Twiston-Davis on board today. That may well be a cap towards one of us as well, for Lizzie Kelly going for that ride instead of staying for Horatio Hornblower in a valuable race. But he was well beaten last time out at Warwick, but he ran a good race at Worcester the time before that. He had a little bit of a break before that Warwick run as well, but the handicapper's giving him a real chance now down to a mark of 117. This is a very competitive race, don't get me wrong, but Sam Twiston-Davis on board. He's been running pretty well in his last few starts. Soft ground's going to be no issue whatsoever. Newbury will pose no problems at all. I thought at a bigger price in first-time cheek pieces, Horatio Hornblower could go quite well, but as you say, it's such a competitive race. I mean, Kimberlite Candy's an interesting horse for Tom Lacey. Barry Geraghty taking the ride was a winner at Market Raisin last time around. Two Smoking Barrels was running a big race also at Market Raisin before coming down behind Cyclop last time out. That was in the Lincolnshire National on Boxing Day. And Killala Key's a very good horse as well on his day. I think he once upon a time chased home for Heenan the Neptune at the Cheltenham Festival. So you got some decent horses in the contest. I just thought that I'd side with Horatio Hornblower and hope to God that Nick Williams has a big day.
One down the bottom then in that one, Horatio Hornblower on what could be an across the card double for Nick Williams. Thank you very much for that, Luke. Just quickly remind us your two picks then.
In the 1 o'clock at Market Raisin, one of us, that would be the Nap, and Horatio Hornblower in the 3 o'clock at Newbury, I think, would go well at a bigger price.
Good stuff to follow then for Luke on Wednesday. Now, I caught up with Andrew Thornton a little bit earlier on, one of the senior names in the weighing room nowadays, to talk about some of the rising prospects in the National Hunt game.
This is William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track. Email us at studio@williamhill.co.uk. Tweet us at Will Hill Racing.
Sam Norris here, joined by Andrew Thornton now to take a look at some of the rising stars in the National Hunt weighing room. There have been plenty of examples of late. Delighted to be joined by Andrew to take a look at some of these stars. And as I mentioned there, particularly in the National Hunt game, we're blessed at the moment with a real number of up-and-coming jockeys who are riding from strength to strength and doing it in the big races as well, which is oh so important.
Yeah, dearth of talent at the moment. And it seems to be very much so English bred as well, which is quite unusual for to be so many of the English jockeys coming to the fore. But I think that's probably due to the pony racing experience that they've gathered over the last 10 years or so, which that's a thing that I missed. I didn't get the opportunity to do when I first started riding. But certainly the likes of, well, at the forefront, I suppose, Bryony Frost, having won the big Grand National Trial at Warwick at the weekend, and also riding Black Corton for Paul Nicholls. I think she's really come to the fore this year. And just her quiet style, the way she presents the horse at the fences, she doesn't try and do too much, just lets the horses get on with the job, keeps them well balanced. And again, she's come through the pony racing scene and been brought up with ponies and horses all her life. I think that's the key thing, that she's that's her background. Obviously, Jimmy Frost, been a Grand National winning jockey.
It's in the pedigree.
Certainly is in the pedigree. And, you know, she's with Paul Nicholls, who's given her plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting you mentioned there the pony racing, which has come so far in this country since, I think, about 2007 when things really got going. It's very much been the case in Ireland. But as you said, those opportunities weren't there for you. It wasn't the way jockeys came through the ranks back in those days. What were the differences between when you were coming through now and the opportunities presented for those jockeys, i.e. Bryony Frost nowadays?
Well, I always came through. It took longer for me to establish myself. I didn't get my first ride till I was 18, having started working in a yard when I was 16. So you didn't get the opportunity of riding on the track, on the racetrack, in races. You know, some of these pony races, James Bowen, Sean Bowen, for instance, you speak to them, they'll have ridden over 100 pony winners in their life. So that's invaluable experience that you've generated in race riding environment. Riding good ponies, and a lot of these good ponies as well are thoroughbreds.
Yes.
And just haven't grown enough to...
They're fairly expensive, some of them, aren't they? If you want to purchase
20,
a good
30,
pony.
40 grand, you know? Yeah. Ponies don't come cheap, but the thing is, you pay the money for them, they retain the value.
Mm.
So they'll get passed further down the line. So when we're talking about Sean Bowen and James Bowen, I remember seeing Peter Bowen when this first started about 8 or 9, 10 years ago, him turning up at Kingston Blount Point a point, which is a long way from home. It's the M40 cutting,
right,
just south of Oxford. And they've come from Pembrokeshire just to ride in two pony races. Sean and James had found them in the calendar. This is on Peter's Sunday off. Where you think he'd be sat at home with roast beef, Yorkshire puddings, feet up. None of it. 5.5 hours it took them to get them there. Blimey. But they walked away, won both divisions. I think it was the under 138 centimetres, under 148 centimetres classes. And it just shows what the grounding was put in from Peter and Karen, Peter's wife as well. to the go the lengths of just travelling on a weekend when they're not racing. So, yeah. You know, those two boys, James Bowen now with Nicky Henderson, at this time last year, he was still riding ponies.
Mm.
It seems very hard to believe. Then he, once his birthday came along in March, started riding in Pointer Points, and he beat Nick Schofield's record of, I think it was 26 winners, been champion novice rider in the Pointer Point field in 3 months. That's phenomenal. How far he's come and how quickly he's come and where he's riding now. The talent, I can't express it. It's amazing. I think he only needs one more winner to get down to £3.
Yeah, which just seems to have fallen off his claim.
You know, some people might say, is it going to happen too quick? I don't think, from what I've seen, his experience is probably, I would say, 4 years in front of where AP was at this stage. It's quite incredible. Mm. You know, AP, the greatest jump jockey I've ever seen. And you think to yourself, oh, would his records ever be broken? Now, you don't want to blow somebody who's still got, you know, £1 to ride out of their £5 allowance down to £3. But he's a serious talent. I think weight-wise, that'll be the issue. At this stage, when AP was, you know, we're comparing him to AP McCoy and Richard Johnson. At this stage, he's probably 2 stone heavier than where AP was at 16. So, you know, he's over 9.5 stone. AP was about 7 stone 10.
Mm.
So he's still got a lot of developing to do. And that's what we've got to bear in the fact of how is his weight going to cope in the next 3 or 4 years. And I'll always say you don't know how good a jockey is until he has his first serious injury. You don't wish it upon anybody, but it will happen.
Mm.
You're going to break a leg. You're going to break a collarbone. You're going to break an arm. It's going to happen.
Mm.
You're just going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
Sean Bowen, for that matter, he's taken a little bit longer to develop. I think this year, the way his riding style is, I think he's improved no end this season. Very forward-going riding style. Different to James. James a little bit more patient, or it's maybe going into the Nicky Henderson mould. Doesn't like the horses ridden so much from the front. But the way that Sean rides, he's a very forward-going jockey. And over fences, he's brilliant. Mm. Doesn't interfere. If you were going to compare Sean Bowen to anybody, it would be Adrian Maguire and his pomp.
Okay.
Long rein, big long rein on them, letting the horse get on with it. And he's not frightened to throw a horse at a fence.
Yes.
When it really does matter. I think we saw it at Kempton over Christmas, coming down to the last. He's not frightened to throw a horse down to a last fence. So, you know, very, very good young jockey.
Yeah, both James Bowen and Bryony Frost, the two sort of making headlines very much in the racing papers at present. You mentioned Bryony Frost's style in the saddle. It's very pleasing on the eye. For me, her style in front of camera as well could be very important going forward because, as you know, in all sports, we need characters. It's very infectious when you watch her be interviewed. And she could potentially be someone who's picked up by the wider sporting media because obviously she's a female. There's only been 2 females that have ridden a Grade 1 winner, of course, after Lizzie Kelly. She's young, the connection with Jimmy Frost as well. But the way she presents herself and the way she comes across, infectious would have to be the word that I use. And I know how important is it for the next generation to be media friendly, if you like, and to be sellable?
I think she's been herself, isn't she? There's no,
which is great.
There's nothing been stamped on her. It's what you see is what you get. She's bubbly, bouncy, and not so much that, but she's just very informative. She tells you exactly what the horse has been given her back. She can, you know, that tells you everything. She can read a race, and she can explain it, and she can put it across to the wider public. In layman's terms, as it were.
Yes.
Not too technical or doesn't get wrapped up in too much on that side of things. And I think she's just, she's a breath of fresh air.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, herself and James Bowman making the headlines there, as I mentioned. But there's got the likes of Mitch Bastian, John Joe O'Neill Jr. has been riding really well at the moment. There are loads that we could mention, Andrew, away from those two star names who've been riding the big Saturday winners. Anybody else really catching
Harry
your eye?
Harry Cobden, he's basically second jockey to Paul Nicholls as well.
And he's only 19, is he?
Yeah, he's not very old either. Yeah. He's ridden out his claim, but you know, he's Paul Barber's godson, so he gets. And I think it's Bryony. He's had probably more success than Bryony at the moment, but obviously, Bryony's getting more of the headlines at the moment. You know,
she's the story, isn't she?
She's the big story. She's the girl of the moment. But Harry Cobden, you know, he's another youngster. Harry Bannister, another young lad who's slipped under the radar. He's got the best strike rate of anybody in the country at the moment.
Oh, really? Is that
25% strike rate. Wow. Above anybody else who's riding at the moment, above Harry Skelton. You know, Harry Skelton, obviously a little bit older now. Harry Bannister riding for Harry Whittington mainly and getting plenty of outside roads. Another very good young chase jockey who's, I'd say, who's just slipped under the radar. You know, he's had 37 winners from 146 rides so far this season. And I've got, just looking down the list here, his strike rate over fences is pretty decent, 15 from 57. So he's running at pretty much a 30% strike rate over fences. Kieran Gethins, another name we should mention. He's getting plenty of opportunities from Tom George's yard. He's sitting second in the conditional jockey's title at the moment. Again, somebody who's probably just hasn't had the big winners, but he's been riding mainly around the smaller tracks. And then you've got the likes of Jamie Hamilton up north, getting plenty of opportunities. And Ryan Day, big winner at Cheltenham, which was obviously overshadowed by, unfortunately, a fatality of Starkitect in the big race at Cheltenham there just before Christmas. But Ryan Day getting plenty of chances from the Nicky Richards yard. And Jamie Bargery as well from Nigel Twist and Davis. He gets plenty of opportunities. So we've got a dearth of young talent. And of all the lads we've mentioned and girls we've mentioned in there, I think 9 out of 10 of them are English. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a changing of the guard.
Yes.
And I think that is a big, big thing to do with the pony race and what we've seen coming through. And maybe a lot of the, one or two of the Irish youngsters staying at home.
Mm. Yeah, a real shift in power in that respect. One final point on this then, before we wrap it up. You mentioned there'll be issues to come for these young jockeys regarding weight as they get a little bit older. Injuries, of course, which are all part and parcel. Riding out your claim, we've seen plenty of jockeys come onto the scene, and then when they lose their claim, it becomes a little bit more difficult with all these challenges ahead. And of course, you need to stay grounded as well. What would be the advice, if you like, if you were giving advice to a younger jockey? Because there's going to be challenges coming up.
Absolutely. You've got to keep working hard. And once, you know, you've got a lot of trainers at the moment, I'd use it for claiming off the top weights, taking valuable weight off them, and they're the old handicappers.
Yes.
But you've also got to realise that you are going to have to work extra hard, because you're getting the opportunities. Once you've lost your claim, you could be looking in your wing mirrors, because there's always somebody coming along. There's always somebody ready to step into your shoes, what you've just filled from somebody else.
Mm.
And that's just the nature of the game. And you need a little bit of luck. And the thing is, I think nowadays, it's a case of being patient as much as anything. Jockeys are riding longer.
Yep.
Like myself, Noel Feely, Richard Johnson. They're riding longer. It's the longevity. Once upon a time, when I started 28 years ago, 35 was the cut-off point.
There was a retirement age,
35,
almost.
Yeah. Carl Llewellyn pushed the bar a little bit. Simon McNeil got up to 40. But they were the few and far between. The Norman Williamson's retired, Jamie Osborne's were in their mid-30s when I was starting out. And, you know, those I look at in the paper today, Norman Williamson's 49. I'm only 4 years behind him. He's been retired the best part of 14 years. But the advent of physios, but the main thing is patience. You've got to wait till these lads retire. There's going to be big gaps when the likes of Richard Johnson retire. There's 800 rides that are going to be going begging.
Yep.
You've got Noel Feely, 500 rides a year. So there's 1,300. You know, Paul Maloney's just retired. So Adam Wedge's got his chance with Evan Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So you've just got to bide your time and be patient and just put yourself in the right position. Keep working hard. Somebody else will get an injury. They'll get a chance.
Superb stuff. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Incredibly interesting, and best of luck with the rides coming up in the future.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.